Hey, this is Father Voskin, a priest of the Armenian Church, welcoming you to The Next Step, episode number 228 of The Next Step. This is a podcast about life and love, about spirituality, where we look at the very fabric of our being through the lens of ancient Armenian Orthodoxy. Polished up for today, we call that polished look Armadoxy, and we're inviting you to take a look with us. This podcast is being brought to you by the good folks at epostle.net. That's apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe. Hey, if you're ready, let's take the next step. So good to have you with us today. I don't know if you're running with that guy, if you're walking, if you're crawling, if you're taking baby steps with us. I'm just glad you're with us today. We are running air conditioning. It's a little bit muggy today in Southern California, but it's been beautiful. Even though it is October, it is still hot. Yeah, neath the cover of October skies. What do you expect? It's Southern California. We're enjoying it over here. Yeah, that would be nice with Van Morrison. But hey, listen, Jethro Tull is in town. Yeah, I don't know where Van Morrison is these days, but Jethro Tull, let me tell you something really wild this morning, okay? I open up the Etchmiadzin website, the Mother See of Holy Etchmiadzin, download a video about their work within Armenia. What is the background music? You guessed it. You guessed it, Jethro Tull. Now you tell me where that influence is coming from, right? Jethro Tull in the Etchmiadzin website. That is really cool. Anyway, they are going to be in town. They are going to be in Rancho Mirage, Long Beach, and hopefully we'll get a chance to see them. I know a few people from Epostle will be out there, and we'll be happy to tell you all about it next week on our podcast. But for this week, hey, it was Ani's wedding. Thank you for all the well wishes, and I passed along every one of your wishes to Ani. She was very, very thankful for all of your support, your love, and your prayers, and I'll tell you about it in a few minutes. Actually, I'm going to tie it in with the song of the day, because I got a chance to listen to some incredible music, and when you live in down in Los Angeles area, and you hear all kinds of Armenian music day in and day out, you know, you really come to appreciate some of the good stuff, and we had some of the good stuff. So anyway, great, great wedding. And I'll share that with you in a few minutes. But speaking of sound, music, I mean, what did we do? We went from Morrison to Tull to musicians at a wedding. How about the sound of my voice right now? You like it? Is it coming out okay? Well, you can't blame the equipment, because we got a brand new microphone. It's the brand new Yeti microphone, and I want to do a big shout out to Armon. He heard that our Yeti microphone had fallen. I told you about it a couple weeks ago, and quick to it, he sent me an email and a couple links to Amazon back and forth, and he purchased us our new microphone, and I am broadcasting with it. It is an actual duplicate of the one that we had earlier. It is Yeti microphone made for podcasting and made for broadcasting. So let me know what you think, and we'll make the little adjustments. We'll tweak it until it comes out okay. Either the microphone or me will tweak something until it works out okay. But so far it looks pretty good. So thank you very much, Armon, and thank you everybody who, like, you know, you take ownership. You know, this is our show, and we put it out together. Hey, quite different from what's going on in the world. This week, the scales tipped. The balance was off. For the first time, there are more Americans that are claiming no religious affiliation in the entire history of the United States. This is the first time that this happened. Let me read to you from a small article. This is from the Pew Research Association. 20% of American adults describe themselves as having no religious affiliation. That is more than 46 million Americans. The number of Americans with no affiliation to a church, mosque, synagogue, temple, or other house of worship has increased 5% over the past 5 years. Increase of non-affiliated Americans is strongest among young adults, with one-third of adults under 30 calling themselves unaffiliated, agnostic, or atheist. There you go. There it is. Okay, the balance has changed. More people checking off, you know, that little box that you see It says none. Religious affiliation, none. As Armenians, we've got that none in our head, don't we? You know, when they ask you, what is your ethnic background? You're looking for, like, something that you could say you're Armenian. Of course, there's the Caucasian. There's the African-American. Now, those of you from Egypt, of course, that's African-American. But, you know, Armenians are the true Caucasians. We come from the Caucasus. But the minute you put down Caucasus over there, you put down Caucasian, in common usage, they don't think of Armenian. So now you're looking for something. You're looking for one of those boxes that you could fit in, that you could check off. So you usually end up doing the none box and then doing, there's usually a line next to it that says, how do you describe yourself, you know? And if you don't put in three eyes or something like that, you can put in, I'm Armenian. Well, it's the same with religion, right? And you have that usual list of boxes that they want you to check off. Are you Christian? Are you Jewish? Are you Muslim? Are you a Buddhist? And there'll be people who'll say, well, wait a minute, Buddhism is not a religion, it's a philosophy. Hindu, what is your background? And then there's the none box. And sure enough, for the first time in American history, that none box has gotten more points than any of the others. Well, from what I understand from this reading, actually from all the others combined. Now, this is not anything new out in Europe, and certainly our listeners out in Europe will tell me that. They keep telling me that, hey, you know what you guys are talking about there, over there, about religion and everything, it is so interesting because we don't have this dialogue over there. It's kind of like religion is kind of passé. It's old world. So it interests us. Now, why does this interest me? Well, our audience here in the next step, with what we do with the In Issues ministry, what we're trying to do within the Armenian church, not outside the Armenian church, within the Armenian church, is really, there's a lot of people who are tuning in because they're looking for those truths in ancient orthodoxy. But we do have a lot of listeners who classify themselves in that none category when it comes to what are you affiliated with within the Armenian church or within the Armenian community structure. And it's none, you know, it's the disenfranchised group. People who are just have been lost. Have been forgotten about because the church has continued in its old ways and has really ignored a large number of the population. So we're appealing. We're talking about the things that do matter. I mean, we are living here in America, and it always surprises me when I go to these Armenian events and the little kid that gets up and stands up on the stage and says, "Yes, togalem im sirdes hayrenikum vorderen im nahadag hayriknerik." And they'll tell you all about how they have left their heart in the Armenian homeland and everything like that. And that poor little kid, you know, you take away the Xbox, you take away the flat screen TV, you take away the little iPad in his hand. That kid's lost. They want all the comforts of home, but claiming to something that is basically a romantic idea. And it is romantic. It is very romantic to belong to a bigger tribe such as the Armenians. But it's got to mean something. Otherwise, it's much like an onion. You know, you start peeling away and then at the bottom of it, there's nothing there. Well, certainly if you've lived within an Armenian community, within the Armenian culture, within any ethnic culture, you know that there is something there. And it's something that's valuable. You need to find it. And once you find it, you don't want to let go of it because you know how valuable it is. It is not empty. But usually what we get caught up with are all the externals. Two politicians here in this area, Los Angeles, you know, we have one of the largest center of Armenians over here. Two politicians are running for the same office, and one is Sherman, one is Berman. And both of these guys have been very good to the Armenian community, and the way, because of redistricting, they are at odds with one another. In other words, they're going to be running against each other. And so you have Armenians now talking about how do they help the Armenian people. And absolutely, you know, you're a lobby. You want to know how these people are going to be doing. But what are the issues that they're talking about? Genocide recognition, about genocide, something that happened like 100 years ago. and looking for validation from someone else rather than just accepting that it has happened. I mean, I'm the first one who will tell you. And because of our ministry, In His Shoes ministry, what are we doing? We're saying, because it has happened, well, look at all the things that we're doing right now. And we're ready on the season. I mean, whether it's our drive for the homeless once a month, feeding out there on Skid Row, or whether we're providing blankets and clothing for the kids and children hospital, or the toy drives that we have, these are all because as a result of who we were. I mean, our whole activity for Darfur, there's a genocide happening right now. So we are basically taking what happened to us in the past and applying it to what is happening right now, all filtered through this beautiful faith that we have in Christ Jesus. And Christ is nothing more than the love faith, the faith that we have to love. We have to push ourselves to the boundaries of love, of selfless sacrifice for other people. And so it comes down to this. It's a very basic equation. So we find meaning in our lives through our past, yes, but it means something today. It's not just something senseless to say, hey, let's recognize it, let's kill a Turk for Jesus, and then it's over. No, this is not what it's about. There's some real issues that are happening. Right now, here in Glendale, where I'm serving, in this small little parish, some of the problems, you talk about genocide. We are facing domestic violence issues right now to the tune of 2 to 3 prosecution of Armenian men every single day. You want to hear it again? 2 to 3 prosecution of Armenian men every single day. That's epidemic. That's epidemic. And next Thursday, in Issues Ministries, we're going to be out there on the streets of Glendale. We're going to be walking. Hey, if you're in the area, please join us. We're going to be walking an 8.8 kilometer walk from St. Peter to St. Leon Cathedral, where we're going to get together, rally, and start telling the people that it's okay to talk about these things. We're starting a new outreach program. Okay, you want to talk about genocide? It's happening under our noses. How about the abortion problem right now? Whatever way you feel, whatever your feelings may be on abortion, I think we all agree that it should not be used as a means of birth control. And yet it is being used exactly in those terms. Right now, in Glendale, Saturday morning, come and join us. See the line in front of the local abortion clinic. Half, if not more, of the girls going in are Armenian. Well, what are those little babies that are being killed, if not Armenian? You want to talk about a genocide? Don't look 100 years before. Look at what's going on right now. And it's just basically simply education and empowerment. Letting our children, letting our people have the tools that are necessary to empower them with the things that are important to them. So that's what we're all about, and that's what we're doing over here. But you know what? It has been a very wild roller coaster kind of week. Right after we got off the air last week, we heard that His Beatitude, Archbishop Torkel Manoogian, had passed away. He is the Patriarch of Jerusalem. In our second section today, we're going to have a very special little remembrance and a reminder of him from our dear friend Harry Hagopian out in London. He has prepared a small little reflection that he's sharing with us, our Next Step listeners. So that's coming up in a few minutes. And of course, things happened a few days later when we heard about the resignation of a very dear priest. Now, I don't know him very well. I've met him a couple times, but he has a very good reputation among young people. Interestingly enough, huh? Young people. He was able to attract young people to the Armenian Orthodox Church. Sunday he resigned, and Monday he was defrocked. Whoa! What's going on here? Somebody's bringing youth to the church, and they're defrocking him? Okay, questions and answers. Last night we dedicated an entire session of our questions in faith, our Bible study to it, and it is online. Actually, we had one of the largest listenership, largest audience we've ever had in Apostle history that were following along, that were watching the stream, and it is archived. If it's not up there today, we'll definitely put a link on our show notes so you can check it out. It'll definitely be up on YouTube, Armadoxy channel, so make sure you do check it out. out. It was very interesting. Not only the lecture, but also the questions that were coming up throughout the evening. But a lot of questions being asked today. What's going on? What's going on? Why are we checking off that nun box? Is it because the faith is irrelevant? I'll argue that. I don't think love is ever irrelevant. Or is it because we're just unable to deliver the faith in a proper way? These are things you need to ask. These are things that we ask. These are things that we're engaged in over here. Okay, now these things happened. They get us to think. But, you know, I did say it was a roller coaster ride. Ups and downs, right? Let me tell you the up, okay? Ani got married. Yes, our dear Ani, she got married on Saturday night. Wonderful guy named Eric. They're honeymooning out in Hawaii right now, enjoying themselves. But I got to tell you, that night, we had most incredible wedding. First of all, the ceremony, St. Leon Cathedral. Her uncle, yeah, that's me, did the ceremony along with Archbishop Vache Hovsepian, the senior most clergy in the Armenian church. What a blessing. It was just such a beautiful, such a sacred event. And I can't tell you what a beautiful bride she was. Of course, I'm partial. But even if I wasn't partial, she was just a beautiful bride. So then we went into the hall. Now, I got to tell you, this is the segment leading into our song of the week. You know, I pick out a good one every week. And today is no different. I'm not going to let you down today, okay? This is the Hosharian Brothers Band. And incredible music. You know, even as much as music, as many musicians, as many bands as there are in the Los Angeles area, you just crave this stuff. At least I do. And we had such a great time dancing the night away. I wanted to share it with you today. Here's the Hosharian Brothers Band playing an Armenian medley. Enjoy.
Oh, shit.
That is the Hoshayan Brothers Band. It is off of their Electric Kef album. And do check it out. We will put a link on our show notes to the entire band. And if you're ever around, if you ever hear them playing any venue, go and listen to these people. Incredible musicians making some incredible music. And just, we had a great time. What could I say? If your feet move, you know the music's got to be good. Hoshayan Brothers Band. Archbishop Torquil Manoogian, the Armenian Patriarch of Jerusalem, entered his eternal rest last Friday, October 12th, 2012. I used Gomindas as a little segue there because Archbishop Manoogian was probably the most knowledgeable, the leading authority about Gomindas Vartabed and his music, having authored many books about the famed Vartabed, about the famed priest. Archbishop Manoogian, I had the good fortune of knowing him as a child. He ordained me as an acolyte, as a candle holder, back when he was serving here in California, as the Californian diocese before it became the Western diocese. Then he went on to the Eastern diocese, and in the 1990s went on to become the Patriarch of Jerusalem, and he was there until his death. He passed away at the age of 93, like I said, dedicated over 70 years to the Armenian Church. Quite a bit of time, right? It was a fruitful life, a very full life, having given himself to the Armenian Church. When he passed away, we got all kinds of letters and all kinds of emails that came to us. It was there was a buzz on the internet, of course, about him, but there was a buzz in our inboxes. And certainly our dear friend Harry Hagopian, who I have to say, dear friend, although we've never met, I think it was Kermit the Frog who once said, you know, there's got to be a word yet. There isn't a word yet for old friends that just met, right? Well, one day I hope to meet him. But until then, I guess we'll be satisfied with this electronic means of communications. But I did ask him, and he was gracious enough to accept. I asked if he would do a small little reflection about Archbishop Torquil, having known him, and of course Harry is noted within the ecumenical circles, and Archbishop Torquil was an ecumenist. He really was one of those people that pioneered getting the Armenian Church out there beyond the Armenian people. Truly a remarkable clergyman. And I thank Harry for accepting the invitation. So without any further ado, here's Dr. Hagopian.
Brandy and Honey with RT is a personal reflection from Dr. Harry Hagopian on the late Torquil II, Armenian Patriarch of Jerusalem. Dr. Hagopian is an international lawyer, ecumenical advisor, and political analyst on the Middle East, North Africa region.
"You know where I keep the key to the Armenian brandy cabinet," he would say smilingly. "So why don't you get the bottle and I'll ask for our tea with honey? Then you can ask me your latest questions." An innocuous request, almost ill-fitting if the truth be told, when writing a personal reflection about the late patriarch. However, This tongue-in-cheek conversation that we had so many times over a number of years in his office depicts to me a side to the late patriarch that was not always visible behind the rigors of his office, but one that was nonetheless still there. A sense of wit, mischievous fun, and engagement with others on an unburdening level that sat alongside his more austere and official functions as a spiritual leader of the Armenian community and as the second-ranking church leader in Jerusalem, according to the very strict hierarchy applied by all 13 traditional churches of the Holy Land. This was the man who shepherded me alongside the Latin Rite Catholic Patriarch of Jerusalem during those years when I was based in Jerusalem. First as Director of the Middle East Council of Churches, then as Coordinator of the Jerusalem Interchurch Committee, and finally as second-track negotiator during the Oslo-led talks between Israel and the Palestinians. Mind you, ever the consummate diplomat, he never liked to be blunt about politics, often counseled me to draw back before forging forward, and on many occasions tried to trace a middle way between Israeli and Palestinian positions, whilst also acknowledging the political proclivities and deep sympathies of his community. One would enter into his office and be instantly surrounded by swirls of files and papers, with him sat at his desk, a magnifying glass in his hand, checking the documents in his in-tray. I often teased him that he would have surely learned the art of delegation in the USA, but he was as punctilious about his choice of words as he was about his statements. Many a time we opened the Oxford Dictionary together to make sure that I had not overstated my case by using an inappropriate word. Numerous people have written extensively about his wide range of personal interests and pursuits, whether in the publication of his books and monographs, including those on poetry under the pen name Shen Mah, or else his diligent translation into Armenian of William Shakespeare's 154 sonnets. However, what always lit up his eyes instantly was any mention of the prodigious Gomidas. Since the patriarch was one of the experts on this composer and his musicology. But then, Gomidas was not only an Armenian priest and gifted composer. He was also deeply traumatized by the horrors of the Armenian genocide. What he saw made him lose his sanity, and I believe this fact played also into Patriarch Torkom's own psyche. After all, he was born in the desert of Ba'quba, not far from Baghdad, and was an orphaned product of this first genocide of the 20th century. In Gomidas, he saw a kindred spirit, and in Gomidas, he also realized his potential as a visionary who could think out of the box. The late patriarch, 96th in line in an Armenian Jerusalem that spans 1,500 years, was a determined reformer. And trust me, Jerusalem needs reform badly. Who often told me that the more he achieved, the more he realized the enormity of the task ahead. But with that sense of reform came also the kind wisdom that was at times misinterpreted as sternness, aloofness, or even arrogant ostentation. Yet in this man also lay the genes of a caring shepherd who sought to love and to be loved, and who was ready to forgive the transgressions of others even when he fully realized that he failed at times to go the extra mile himself. Perhaps this is one of the reasons why he was so careful in his relationships with others. He knew what it meant to hurt or to be hurt, and so endeavored often to exercise his impossible gift of love. What I see in the late patriarch is not only his stature as one of the leaders of a history-rich Armenian church, or even one of its outstanding ecumenical leaders who blossomed every time he welcomed church representatives, diplomats, guests, and pilgrims in that big hall adjoining his office. Nor is it merely the man whose experiences across the USA and the Holy Land allowed him to offer so much to his church. After all, he is of a generation that is, alas, slowly but surely dying out. Rather, what I recall more than that is his sense of humor, his diffidence and confidence in alternate measures, his ability to feel the pulse of a situation, even if he were unable to do much to change it, and his staunch loyalty for Jerusalem as much as his equally staunch but generous loyalty to friends. Yet, I also felt the loneliness that beset him, especially in the late afternoons when I visited him, and the humanity of a man whose office at times overwhelmed him. Once the Oslo process for peace between Israel and the Palestinians ended in failure, and I opted to leave Jerusalem for London, the late patriarch decided to join hands with his fellow church leaders to celebrate together my time in the Holy City, launch my booklet, The Armenian Church in the Holy Land, and lift up my attempts at fostering ecumenism in the land of too many old and new prophets. As I told him that I was chuffed by that kindness bestowed upon me, he looked at me, again smilingly, and said, "Yes, Harry, but you know that there will be no brandy or honey at this reception." Many words have been said or written about the late patriarch. Only a couple of days ago, the General Secretary of the World Council of Churches in Geneva sent his letter of condolences, in which he quoted St. John from the New Testament, that those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. True, but I want to quote another prayer by St. Gregory of Narek, who wrote, "Faith, that happy and favored word, which lasts forever untarnished and unbounded, honored together with charity and hope, brings the rewards of truly clear vision, perfect wisdom, acquaintance with God, and familiarity with the exalted. I offer this prayer, this sun sash of daily inspiration, as a friend calls it, to the late patriarch as a token of humble, happy, and also healthy memories of our many, many, many experiences together. Mind you, if he were now sitting next to me and read what I have just written, he'd look at me, chuckle, and say, 'Harry, you're showing off again, aren't you?' Indeed, I am perhaps showing off to a friend, recently departed but always present, who was at times overrated and at others underrated, but who did his honest and level best for the church. In our conversations, I often quoted to him, somewhat cheekily, I must admit, one of my favorite maxims in the Armenian church, that unity applies for essentials, liberty for doubtful matters, and charity for all things. It is a fitting final thought for the man who at times deliberately fumbled his words and who has now wedded himself with eternity. The old inevitably leads to the new. Astvads hokin lusavore." Thank you.
Thank you so much, Harry. That was just wonderful. It was very moving. Appreciate it. Reflections, a little bit of commentary in there as well. I even got the shout out. Yes, I heard the Sun's Ash in there as well. Really, really appreciate it. Harry's going to be out there for, he's making the journey to Jerusalem to be there for the funeral, for the patriarch's funeral. Subsequently, there will be an election for the next patriarch. I believe it is the 97th patriarch of the Holy See. Appreciate it. That was Dr. Harry Hagopian. The name of that piece is Brandy and Honey with Our Tea. Some reflections on the late Archbishop Torquem Manoogian. And while we're here, I do want to share with you a couple thoughts that I had the other day when I looked at the map of Jerusalem. Yes, Susie's pointing to me. Archbishop, yes, let me just do that explanation. Now remember, a patriarch is a position, but they are archbishops, okay? It's not like a Catholicos. They are not consecrated to the patriarchate. They are elected. So much like a bishop would be the primate of a diocese, a prelate, in the same way the patriarchate has a patriarch. So it is the archbishop or the bishop that is elected to that position. So yes, he is Archbishop Torquem Manoogian, and he is the Patriarch of Jerusalem. But let me share with you an idea that came across my head the other day, and sometimes I get some good ones. I was looking at the map of Jerusalem, and we all know there's four quarters to Jerusalem, right? I mean, there is the Jewish quarter, Jerusalem. There is a Jewish quarter. There is a Christian quarter, and there is a Muslim quarter. Now the fourth quarter, yes, it takes four quarters to make a whole, the fourth quarter is called the Armenian quarter. Interesting. The Armenian quarter. It's not part of the Christian quarter. There's the Armenian quarter of Jerusalem. I know. Some of you, the light bulbs are already coming up because you've been listening to me long enough, okay? I know why. Yeah. This came to me. I'm looking at that, okay? Armidoxy. What have we been talking about all this time? I mean, isn't it interesting? The Armenian quarter is not classified under the Christian quarter. Think about that for a moment, right? I mean, they don't separate Jerusalem into saying the Christian half, the two quarters, Armenian and Christian being Christian. They don't say there's half of Jerusalem is Christian half, and then quarter, the Jewish quarter, and the Muslim quarter. No. There is a Christian quarter, and there is an Armenian quarter. What have we been teaching over here, right? Christianity, as expressed by the Armenian Church, Armidoxy, is something that goes beyond the events that took place 2,000 years ago. That's why St. Gregory the Illuminator said, "As for us, we will glorify that which is from the beginning of all time." Yes, Christ, Jesus took form 2,000 years ago, but that Christ is the eternal God, is the eternal I Am, is the eternal love, which took place at the beginning of time. Whether you want to accept it as a Big Bang or creation, beginning of time. When it all came together, Christ, love, was there. Yeah, so it makes sense. There's the Jewish, the Christian, and the Muslim. And then there's the Armenian quarter. That Armenian quarter, think about it for a moment. What we've been teaching in Armidoxy. It's all falling into place, isn't it? Yeah. Are you smiling right now? You know, I shared this with you last week or the week before, was it? We talked about as exciting as it is to get to the goal, there's a happiness, there's a joy in arriving there. These thought processes, how these things start, well, connecting the dots, putting it all together. It is something grand. Love is beyond our comprehension. Love is beyond our time. Love begins at the beginning of all eternity and continues for all eternity. It is the reason why we use circular wedding rings to symbolize love. No beginning and no end. We're getting there, you know that? We are getting there. Here is Susie to tell you how you can get there with us.
heading back to the next step with Father Vazquez, I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you that this ministry is supported through the heartfelt donations of listeners like you. Thanks for keeping us in your prayers and partnering with this expanding and dynamic outreach. We are now in the fifth year of broadcasting and heard on 6 continents. The next step is entering homes and communities, proclaiming God's message of love, forgiveness, and compassion. Please consider partnering in this dynamic ministry by making a contribution today. By pressing on the donate button on our website, you can set up automatic donations either weekly, monthly, or annually. Your donation goes a long way in furthering this ministry. Even more, tell your friends and family by sharing the Next Step link or website with them. We're on iTunes, Blueberry, Stitcher Radio, as well as Facebook and Twitter. There's even an app for your smartphone. We look forward to your participation and words of encouragement. Write to us 24/7 at feedback@epostle.net. This is Susie wishing all of God's blessings in your life. We now return to the Next Step with Father Vazquez.
Before we get to the last portion of today's show, and it is a kind of a serious, a deep, a difficult topic that we're going to get to, I do want to piggyback on what Susie shared with us a couple of moments ago about the necessity to get involved, the necessity to support. You know, support is not always about writing out checks. It's not about giving money. Now, if you want to give us money, we'll take it, okay? I'm not arguing that one. But equally as important is to get the word out, get the message out. I want to share with you something that happened last night. We were ready to go into our stream of questions in faith when I received an email from a young lady up in Canada. And she said, this situation has arisen. Can you address it? And I said, we're going to be addressing that tonight on our questions in faith in our Bible studies, and you could follow the stream. And she wrote to me this morning that she eventually found us. She said she had to go on the diocesan website, and it wasn't there. And surprise, surprise, guess what? Yeah, we are not on diocesan website. And as much as they like us, as much as they listen to us, and of course they approve of everything that goes out here because we are preaching the teaching of the Armenian Church, they're not supportive. You don't find our links on diocesan websites. Contrary to that, we have listeners on every continent, that we've got people listening throughout. And I just shared with you earlier about that little giveaway on that Etchmiadzin video this morning. We know people are listening. We've got people that are writing to us from every corner of the world except Antarctica. And we'll change that soon, too, okay? Even if we have to get a small little expedition going. Maybe we can have our first... Susie wants to have our first convention over there. Why not? Why not? We'll go to Antarctica. But, you know, we get email from all of the continents, from so many different countries, people listening, tuning in and saying, just thank you. And you know, to me, those thank yous are not about me. It's about the power of God. We have something so beautiful. So beautiful. It's called the Armenian Apostolic Faith. It is a faith that has been transmitted to us through the centuries. This last week, we celebrated the Holy Translators Feast. Can you believe that? 5th century. The Armenians were concerned about how to get this message to the Armenian people. They created an alphabet. They created a language because of that alphabet to translate the words of Christ, to give us Holy Scripture. There's nobody else who does that. And because there's an incredible value there. This is the faith that has not only preserved, but has given us life. Think about that. No strategy, no military strategy, no nuclear bombs, and yet we have survived and we have built. We live. The power of God. This is something so beautiful that we need to make sure gets out there. And we have it, but we're not communicating it. If you find a value in the apostle, and I shared this with this young lady who had written to me. She says, I looked on the diocesan website, it wasn't there. And I said, you know, you need to bring it to the attention of the diocese. And if everybody just does that, just writes to their local church, contacts a webmaster here or there and saying, hey, please put this link on there. This is Armenian Apostolic Evangelism for an Electronic Generation. Here it is, epostle.net. Just put a small little link. You'd be surprised how quickly people will start tuning in, because there is a value to all of this programming. Again, it's not about me. It's never been about me. You listen to what we do with Compass. You listen to the different Lenten journeys. You look at the instep with Christ. It's all about the centeredness of Christ in our lives. We produced a CD several years ago. Remember the title of it? Focused Vision. When you focus your vision on the one that gives you life, it is impossible to die. It is impossible not to connect to that life. And that's what this is about. That's what Epostle is about. It points us through these electronic means, through these computers, through these podcasts, through these microphones. We get the message out. So join us and be a supporter.
Tsava bites nore ora im ne ora yev hui sen ora yes I'd can napsos us haskatsa u yerp armatneris veradartsa.
This week in our presence, a very big tragedy in the Armenian Church unfolded when Father Bartev Gyulumyan, he is a celibate priest, a monk of the Armenian Church, therefore he belongs to one of the monasteries, he belongs to the Cilician See, he resigned from his service to the See in a sermon that he gave in front of the local prelacy bishop. And resigning means that you would, therefore, as a monk, as a member of a Brotherhood of Cilicia, you give up your rights to that brotherhood, but you need to be accepted from one of the other brotherhoods to continue your service. And so that leaves Etchmiadzin, basically Jerusalem is closed door at this point with the passing of the patriarch. It'll be a few weeks before things get back to normal. And of course, Istanbul being one of the other sees is not really practical because, well, you have to be born in Turkey to belong to the Brotherhood of Istanbul. So it leaves Etchmiadzin, the only place you can go to if you're getting out of Cilicia at this point in life. And he resigned. And before anything else happened, without a skip of the heartbeat, the Catholicos of Cilicia defrocked him. Defrocked him. Yeah. You're no longer a priest, they said to him. And what were the reasons? Disobedience. Ah, the catch-all, isn't it? No, it's not about him doing anything immoral. In fact, he is so loved by the community. He is so well liked. His demeanor, the way he attracts youth to the church, it's exemplary. You want priests like this. Yes, but they got him on a technicality which is called disobedience. And actually, it wasn't about teaching false doctrine. Actually, he was a teacher of the Armenian church. That's what Vartabed is. And he was teaching, well, he was doing something that is very unusual in the Armenian church. He was conducting Bible study, and people were going to it. Wow. But they got him on a technicality called disobedience. And guess where we learned about the defrocking? We learned it in the newspaper called Aspares. Check it out, aspares.com. And you go to the Armenian section and you read about the defrocking. Well, defrock, that's a church term, right? Now, who is Aspares? Aspares, you go to the About page and you find out that it is the organ of the Armenian Revolutionary Federation, ARF. Uh-huh. Tashnaksutyun. A political party. They've got all kinds of great stories in there about politics. But here is a story about a churchman being defrocked. So quickly you go to the Prelacy website, because where else are you going to look? There's no daily newspaper for the Prelacy. You go to the Prelacy website, not a word. It's quiet. You could hear the crickets. So you learn about a defrocking their political newspaper. And what else is interesting in this political newspaper, which is report of majority of the reports are about the activities of the political party, the Armenian Revolutionary Federation, you learn that a certain clergyman belonging to the Armenian Protestant denomination is receiving an award by the political party called the Harimyan Hayrik Award. Harimyan Hayrik, Catholicos of the Armenian Orthodox Church. They're giving an award to a clergyman who is not preaching the Armenian Orthodox faith, but is getting this award. And meanwhile, the clergyman who is preaching the Orthodox faith is getting defrocked. Want to hear more? Okay. Last night, Questions of Faith. It'll be up on the net. If not today, tomorrow morning. Make sure you check it out. Okay? It'll be at our Armadoxy channel. YouTube/Armadoxy. It's called The Questions in Faith. We streamed it last night. If you didn't get a chance to watch it, please check it out. You want more? Check out my blog. I'm going to have it up there. Because you can't let this stuff continue. You want more? Okay. Last night, I said I'm not just going to identify it, but I'm going to tell you what the next steps are. What we have to do on the next step. First of all, protest. Protest is very important, but it has to reach some critical mass. You can't clap with one hand. You need two hands to clap. You need people to get together. You need to get like-minded people. And God love you people. I've been seeing you people writing it on Facebook and writing it all over the place that here's this Bible quotation and this and that. It's not going to end there. You need to actively protest. Actively protest. You need to withdraw money from places that are looking for your money. Number two, you need to pray, not only for this priest, but for all priests, which includes the bishops, which includes the Catholicoi who are making these decisions. Pray for the wisdom of God. And in praying, you understand that you have a role in this. You need to get up. You need to be an activist for the church. So protest, pray, and finally, clean up your act. It's very easy to call the shots on somebody else, but we need to always remember we need to be clean. As Christ commands us, he says, first remove the log out of your own eye before you see the speck in your brother's eye. And although it seems like it's a big log in the other's eye, you realize that you have problems too. We all have problems. Let's look within, and in looking within, clean up ourselves so we can look without. Get involved, okay? Do check out these videos. Do check out what we've been putting up on epostle.net. It's very important. These are very difficult times in the life of the Armenian church, and certainly in the life of these priests. I pray for them personally. And I'm going to ask you for your prayers, and I'm going to ask you to get involved. Get this word out. Get this message out. We're not going to take it anymore, okay? I know you're with me. Hey, listen, we are at the end of today's show. We're going to continue on this theme probably next week when we get some more of the details and I can share with you some of the background stuff. I'm going to be open with you. I was open last night in the Questions of Faith series. I want to share some more with you. But, of course, our time has run out for today. I want to thank you for joining us. I hope you've enjoyed today's show as much as we've enjoyed producing it for you. For our producer, Susie, for Vahe, our webman, for Ani, who's out there in Hawaii, this is Father Boskin, inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step. Thank you.
trust you've enjoyed this broadcast. This episode of The Next Step, as well as all previous episodes, are available for downloading at epostle.net or at Apple's iTunes Store. To write to us with comments or questions, please direct your message to feedback@epostle.net. Your kind prayers and donations ensure the continuity of these quality broadcasts. For the production crew and all the members of the In His Shoes Ministries, this is Susie, looking forward to taking the next step with you again next week. And now here's the fine print. The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskulledness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
One more thing, just to sleep on. They say James is the fastest. Well, he ain't. I am. No brag, just fact.